Welcome to Side by Side, a podcast where I, Robert Kwong, take you inside conversations with artists, creatives, healers, and warriors taking the charge in their transformational story. Today's guests are Haley Savage and Jasmine Jung, a dynamic duo who are the co-founders of the Keepsake House, a community that offers a safe, supportive space for independent artists in New York, not only to share the art itself, but to inspire storytelling and nurture meaningful artist-audience connections. One of the artists in residence for the upcoming year will be yours truly as a storyteller. I will be collaborating and performing alongside other amazing musicians and storytellers, and I can't wait for you to meet us. You can support the Keepsake House through our fundraising campaign that will directly benefit the artists involved. And as a thank you to anyone donating $25 or more, you'll receive a bonus compilation of bedtime stories, songs, and a guided sleep meditation created by the Keepsake community. One last thing. The music you're listening to is off of Jasmine's latest EP called In Circles Now. You can check out her music on your music platforms and support her creative process by joining her Patreon. And this is really fun because there's three people on this in this conversation today. I'm talking with Haley Savage and Jasmine Jung, and with a very special reason, because of the project that you two have been shepherding and creating together called the Keepsake House. But maybe before we get there, I'm really curious to hear about how the two of you met, how you two hit it off and decided to take on this project together. I hear you two met at one of my favorite places, MoCA, Museum for Chinese in America. Is that correct?
Yes. That was our origin story.
Yeah.
Who was working there? Was it Haley?
Yeah, I was working there and I was doing public programs. It's a very small team there still, as I understand it, and it always has been. And yeah, we were basically like a team of two on the public program side, but we had programs almost every single night, it felt like sometimes. And one of our recurring programs was called Music and Mic Night, which was a monthly program that I both produced but also hosted. So I was like the MC of the Music and Mic Nights, and Jasmine was a consistent performer. We didn't have residents, but it felt like we had residents because a lot of the people that are involved with Keepsake House as artists now were in many Music and Mic Nights back in the day. But the one that we met on was funny because I actually was the staff performer in the one that we met during. So even though later I hosted Jasmine a lot, our relationship began kind of as like artists together, which is sort of the funny part that nobody hears.
Jasmine, how did you connect with the open mic night, and what was your experience like being a part of that, especially with the focus being for AAPI artists?
Yeah, I think I had gotten an email from somebody at MoCA. I don't know if it was you, Haley.
It would have been before me.
I think it was before you. To be a part of the open mic at MoCA. It was 2018. I had just kind of taken the step to focus on my music as kind of the main thing that I was doing. Decided to go and perform, and it was a really great experience. Like, I automatically kind of felt like really connected to all of the artists. I think that when you go to open mics as an independent artist in the city, oftentimes you're the only person of color in the room. I never felt like quite at home as I did at that open mic. It was a more like curated type of open mic. Everyone was really kind. There was like a very attentive audience.
Well, you both have musical and artistic backgrounds. For the both of you, what did you grow up around as far as musically and artistically? And who are some of your inspirations individually?
I can go first. my dad, he immigrated here when he was a teenager, and music was kind of his way of assimilating into Western culture.
Where did he immigrate from?
He came from Hong Kong, and yeah, he would listen. He would tell me he'd listen to the like American radio growing up in Hong Kong, and then when he was in America, he would go to like record stores and just like buy records and listen to whatever it is that he found. And he really gravitated towards like folk music growing up, like 70s singer-songwriter stuff. But then, you know, as he got older, he like branched out into like rock and blues and all these other genres. And I think growing up, I just was exposed to a lot of those genres, and found myself like kind of similar to him, like gravitating towards like a lot of like folk music, Joni Mitchell and Simon and Garfunkel and things like that. So I think that was my early appreciation for like singer-songwriter music. And then when I became a teenager, I started to write my own music and really gravitated towards like independent songwriters. I found myself kind of like in that rabbit hole of like, I love Sarah Bareilles and Brandi Carlile, and like really just like just fell in love with their writing and like their style and their live music. I remember going to a lot of like their shows growing up. And then, yeah, those are kind of like, I think, the people that shaped my music, and just my love for music in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What about you, Haley?
It's kind of similar. It's going to sound eerily similar, but my dad was probably the biggest influence on me as well in terms of music. My mom also listened to music when I was growing up, and it was a lot of both like soft rock, American John Mayer types, and then also 80s music. So I do have like the one genre of up-tempo music that I like tends to be 80s, 70s, 80s music. And then that has translated into the pop music that I like. I don't listen that much pop music, but that the ones that I do have that influence, I think. But then my dad was, I think, the even bigger influence. He's a guitar player and also a sound engineer. So he's really interested in music and has always been drawn to it from that perspective. And he is a big country lover. And I think before him, I thought, probably through the lens of my mom and media, that country music was like all about tractors and farming and like was really, really white. And I think my dad, and not that, I mean, I am white, by the way, for those listening, I am white. So this is not like it was not like against my culture, but at the same time, I was somebody who grew up in 20 different places. So I'm always really interested in different cultures and diversity, and I love traveling, and I went to China at a really young age, so I have a really close connection with China. And anyway, I was interested in music that was more than that, and I think I always thought country music was just that. And my dad really opened me up to how country music is folk music and is Americana music, and that its roots are in Black music and immigrant music, and you know, that the banjo is a Black instrument, and that this comes from slavery, and like we need to recognize where it comes from. And so I think that was hugely influential in me. And I went to Nashville, and I went to different shows every night that you just walked into bars or whatever venue you could find. And I just remember how incredible the music was, even if you'd never heard of the person. Every single person was absolutely amazing. And I remember going to songwriter rounds there. And I think that shaped like how I see music. And similarly to Jasmine, I don't consider myself an independent artist. I just kind of hobby play, but I love independent music because I see the value in it. I see the value in buying music, and being a fan is really important to me. So I think in college, I was like this massive fan, like obsessively fanatic over certain independent musicians. Shout out to Matthew Mayfield, who's this singer-songwriter from Birmingham that I was like completely head over heels in love with, probably like beyond necessary. And yeah,
Oh,
and I
we've
think,
all been there. We've all had
right,
that
like
phase.
we've all had that phase, and I think like some people have that phase with popular artists, which is totally great. I think it's totally translatable to whatever, like whatever you become obsessive and like fangirl about. But for me, like I really was quite deliberate about it to the point of like I really tried to be a fangirl about people that nobody had ever heard of. And that, and I still hold that proudly to this day.
Yeah, and I think that like has been I mean, I think me and Haley connected about that like when we were first talking about Keepsake House and like the type of like fans that we are and the type of like listeners we want to draw in, and we were like, oh, we just want to like have a community of like fangirls basically.
We value the fangirl.
They shape economies is all I'm saying as
Absolutely. Yeah.
someone who like really got into the K-pop scene once upon a time. It's just the immense power of fangirls. Never underestimate
Yes.
fangirls, y'all. So speaking of Keepsake House, yeah, maybe you could share with listeners a little bit about, I mean, first of all, I love that word keepsake for some reason. Immediately the image I think of is like the number of items that I took from me from Beijing, where I come from, to America. And those items are like limited. There's only like a handful of objects in my house that actually is from China, as in not like manufactured in China. Okay. So, anyway, that's what it made me think of. But I'm curious, your original vision for Keepsake House and how you think of this cohort and building this community.
Haley's pointing at me because I originally came up with the name Keepsake House and approached her way back, well, not way back, in like 2020, like right before the pandemic hit. I was like, we should do this,
A whole
and
lifetime
then we
ago,
were
truly.
all we were all in lockdown. We're like, how do we do this? but yeah, when I was thinking about like the whole idea of keepsake. And that word, I was thinking about just what I love about live music, and a lot of the shows that that I've kind of walked away feeling like, oh man, this is such a great show, have been surrounded by like this idea of intimate music and really connect, like feeling like you're connected with the artist on stage. Oftentimes, there's a lot of like conversation around, like the art making process and just the audience feeling like really, really like close to the artist. And an artist that I can think of that we've actually had the honor of featuring is Vienna Tang, who's had such a great influence on me growing up in terms of like my songwriting and her being Asian American and me feeling like maybe I could do this, you know, seeing someone else who looked like me doing what I wanted. And she, I remember like seeing her at the World Cafe Live in Philly in college, and just walking away from that show, just like on a high and feeling like I had like this like memory that I was like holding on to, for a long time. And so I wanted to like think of a word that just kind of encapsulated that feeling and that idea. And so keepsake kind of came to mind. And what's the second part of your question?
And what sort of community do you want to build with the Keepsake House for artists and storytellers, just overall?
I feel like, and Haley, like jump in whenever. I feel like our vision of Keepsake House has like definitely evolved since we first started. At first, and this holds true to now. We were both really into roundtable shows because we felt like having artists share the stage and interact with each other, feed off of each other's music and songs, and work felt like this idea of like community and kind of had that intimate feel. We kind of checked all the boxes of that intimate feel, the conversation. and you know, feeling close to the audience and the artists. And so that has kind of remained true to the shows that we put on. Yeah, in the beginning we were kind of doing a lot of like piecemeal shows with many different artists, and now our vision has sort of been molded to still support many, many artists, but you know, be able to do that through a residency, be able to create like a greater sense of community by having those artists like know and interact with each other on a greater scale. And yeah, I hope that I hope that we get to do that for a while.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's like a, you know, just wanted to shout out the fundraiser that is going on for the 2023 season for the Keepsake House Artist in Residence. So, but yeah, Haley, is there something else you wanted to add about that? I also know storytelling from story to song is a theme, and that storytelling and music is something that you two feel are naturally kind of support and empower each other. So I was wondering, maybe you can talk about that.
Yeah. And one thing I would add to what Jasmine's saying too, I love that you drew this other definition and kind of other thought from the word keepsake, because I think it does kind of draw different meanings to different people. But I think that's such a perfect example of what we care about as well, which is really like immigrant history and diversity in our artists, and uplifting artists who have been marginalized or feel marginalized, and really trying to provide a not just a platform and not just an opportunity to play, because everybody, there's so many places that they can say that they're doing that, but to A, be able to pay them for that work, and B, to create a space where they feel safe and where they're not alone. So I think that is the biggest thing that Jasmine brought up too. So in a way, the house part of our name is like equally, if not more important than keepsake, because we're also trying to build a home for the artist. That's why when we first started, we thought of ourselves as a business, but we're turning into a nonprofit, because it's really, we're not profit driven at all. We never really were. And I think it took us a long time to like accept that and to say that that could be okay. Not that nonprofits can't make a profit, but it's also really important to us to put the artists first and to make sure that they're the people we're thinking of. They're just as important as the audience and as the show. Like if they feel safe, if they feel like they can put on a great show, it's going to work in tandem with the audience having a great experience and taking that keepsake back with them. So they go together. And I think storytelling has been like a really natural, that's been something that has grown since we started. We actually, our very first show technically was on Zoom, and it was a comedy show, all comedians. It's kind of just because we knew so many API comedians who were good friends of ours, and we wanted to have like a fun show. This was in the middle. This was very soon after the shootings in Atlanta that killed six women and more. So it was a really dark time. We were still in the pandemic as well. There was a lot of Asian hate. And we wanted to do something uplifting for Asian Americans, not just we couldn't raise money. We wanted to pay the artists, but we wanted to do something that felt fun, and felt light and cathartic. And I think that was kind of the beginning of that storytelling journey for us, because it's always just naturally fit into our shows. And the conversation has always been a part of our shows. And then this idea from story to song was something we were talking about for a while. And basically, if you don't know Keepsake House, we do shows that all have different themes. So we've done like a show called Linguistics, where everybody sings in a different language and performs in a different language. And then this show from story to song that we're doing for the second and third time next year, and currently crowdfunding for, is a show all about taking a story and changing it into a song and kind of amplifying it. And we like to say that we're taking what is ultimately a marginalized story from a storyteller who could be kind of anybody. I mean, they should have like some sort of public speaking experience, like you, Robert, but it could be like a comedian, a poet, an actor, an activist, somebody who just has something to say, and amplifying that and creating a piece of art from it through song. So it's both like making that art and so showing the progress of that art making. I'm thinking of Jasmine's EP, The Art We Make. But it's also a lot about, it's also all about like the experience of connecting with somebody who's completely different from you and trying to find common ground and trying to take that, trying to be completely empathetic. And that's the songwriter has the impossible task of taking somebody else's story and putting it into their own words and their own art. And I think that's like the most powerful thing about this show is that you see the reaction of the storyteller and you see them see that song for the first time and see somebody see them in front of this audience. And it's a really, really emotional show. We did it once before, and yeah, it was something that people definitely walked away with, that keepsake and that kind of shock memory. And I think it will do that again. That was a very long answer.
Oh, it was I great love though. It. Thank you. Thank you for sharing those moments that when people gathered, especially during tough times, during times when people need to process, need to bereave, and all of that. And art and music has such a profound, powerful place to help people process those energies and those feelings for themselves. And it's so important for people to have the space to share their experience of something, which so many underrepresented communities don't really have the opportunity to. So thank you for, first of all, like having those things to begin with, linguistics. You did one that was Show Yourself, I believe. And for any artists and creatives and who are BIPOC, AAPI listening, please reach out to them so that, you know, maybe you can have a space to join in on the fun a little bit. Yeah. Well, anything else coming up next year that you want people to look out for that you're excited about?
Oh my gosh, what should we tease? We have so many exciting things.
You've planned quite a bit. It's an embarrassment of riches.
it's been a busy fall for us, even though we're kind of in between shows. So this is going to go out around when you are announced as an artist in residence, along with six others. So we're doing three storytellers and four songwriters this season. And we have 10 shows at Rockwood Music Hall, one every single month from January to October, nine shows part of the residency. And yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. There's all kinds of different music that you'll hear, one of the shows that I'll tease because it's pretty set in stone is that, and it kind of relates to what we were talking about before, is we're going to do a show all about Americana music and about music that is written about America, but we want to just break that genre apart and kind of point to the fact that Americana music really should just be music that has to do with this country, and the perspective of this country is the perspective of the people in it. And so I think, yeah, we're constantly kind of trying to take a creative idea or take a genre and really unpack it in a way that people haven't necessarily seen before. So that's one thing we're doing, but there's a lot of other cool ones as well.
Yes, keep an eye out.
Yes. Every month at Rockwood Music Hall, mostly stage three. Yeah.
Anything you want to add, Jasmine? And also, really quickly before I forget, congrats on your recent EP launch.
Thank you.
I cannot leave this conversation without saying that. But yeah, anything else you want to say about your contribution and keepsake?
I guess I could tease another show that we're doing next year. That's the only thing I can think of. We have one show that I'm very excited about, mostly because, I talk about this a lot in my songwriting, but we are doing a AAPI celebratory show in May that's centered around mental health and conversations around that. Yeah, that's all I'll say.
And what's the name of your EP? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just to say you'll see many familiar faces if you have
It'll be huge.
Six shows before. It's like an all-star show.
Yes.
And your, really quickly for folks, the name of your EP that was just released?
Oh, yes. Yeah, the name of my EP is called In Circles Now. It's a 5-song EP.
It's
around.
It's amazing. It's good.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
And also, the best way to support Jasmine and many other independent artists is through Patreon. So I'm gonna plug her. Plug herself.
Yeah, yes. Patreon. I didn't know that. I love how Jasmine's just like.
Yeah, I get shy. but yes, if you are able to and are on Patreon, I am on Patreon. That is the best way to get involved with my music. I really love the idea that listeners and fans, and I think this like extends to Keepsake House too, are the ones that you are the most communicative with, the ones that are along with you for the ride, for your creative process, and I'm definitely trying to build that community on Patreon for my music. So definitely join if you want to.
Yeah, so keep an eye out on that, and also any updates on the Keepsake House, which will link all the information in the show notes. So thank you so much, Haley and Jasmine, for having this conversation with me, and really honored to be a part of this community. I can't wait to play and explore. So.
Hey, thank you, Robert.
We're so happy to have you.
I know, we are.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to connect with me, please reach out at www.robertkwangcoaching.com. And also feel free to reach out to me on Instagram at robertkwangcoaching.